Okay, John 15:18-27. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law: they hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would take your words and apply them to our hearts this morning. We thank you for your love for us, which is so much greater than the love that the world gives. And we pray for your strength to stand firm in you and in your love, Lord, to faithfully reflect that same love to others, even if the people around us respond badly to you or to us. We thank you for your presence with us by your Spirit, for the privilege of being your ambassadors on earth, Lord. Please let your Spirit work in our hearts this morning through your word. Amen. So the children can go now to Sunday club and creche. As they're going, Jess and I have an anniversary coming up soon. I won't tell you how many years. But we, you know, that you look back on the day you were married and you say your vows to each other. And one of those vows is about forsaking all others to be faithful till death do us part. So even in the wedding ceremony, there's this built-in recognition that this commitment that we're making to each other is by necessity negating all other, making that kind of commitment to anyone else. So it's a commitment to build this love, this relationship, and not any others. In fact, every choice we make in life kind of does this same sort of thing. So even if it's a small choice or a big choice, it doesn't really matter. Every choice leads you towards something. And once you go towards something, you're going away from something else. You can't go in two different directions at the exact same time. And this morning's passage, Jesus is talking about, you know, he has been talking a lot about how we are to remain in his love, and how we're to express that love to each other. But in this passage, he's showing us that when we go towards his love, when we receive it and start to learn to give it to others, we will at the very same time be going, moving away from another different kind of love, which is the love that the world gives. You can't actually move towards both of those loves at the same time. They're in opposite directions. Remember that we've already seen in this chapter how Jesus was saying that he is the vine and we are the branches. So that we need to remain in him, and that everything we need is in him. Our life is in him. His love is in us. We can draw strength and everything from him. And he said the result of being in him, of drawing everything we need from him, it will be that we bear fruit in our lives, fruit that will last. Which he said last week, we looked at, he said, the primary fruit that grows in our lives when we're connected to him is the fruit of love. That as we receive his love, we also give that to others. He gave us this command to love others as he has loved us. That was in verse 12 and verse 17, twice he gave the same command. So he pours his love into us. And then by the power of his love working in our hearts, in our lives, we begin to overflow with the same love towards others. And it's this wonderful picture of provision, that he gives us everything we need. And then we so much more that we actually overflow with it. And there's abundance and there's joy in verse 11. And that sounds like it should make life just wonderful and beautiful and amazing all the time, right? No, sorry. I mean, in some ways, yes, we do have this solid joy that nothing in the world can shake. We have a hope that nothing in the world can take away from us. So we do have something wonderful we can hold on to. We have God's love. We have Jesus' love that we can draw on always. So that is wonderful. But Jesus shows us in these verses that receiving his love and showing his love in this world will actually cost us in some ways as well. That moving towards his love, being shaped by it, letting it set our course of our lives, will set the course of our lives against the grain of the world around us. We'll be moving in the opposite directions. So even as we're receiving love and giving love, we actually may very well experience at times the hatred of the world. So let's think about what this means for us. First, we'll just look at how receiving God's love can lose us the love of the world. We'll look at how if we're living like Jesus, that means that the world might start treating us like they treated Jesus. And finally, how Jesus comforts us with his assurance that this labor of love, he has not left us alone in this. So first, if you receive God's love, you might lose the world's love. Verse 18 and 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Jesus has been talking a lot about love, how his perfect love fills us, how he calls us his friends. He gives his life for us. He sustains us. And then we show that love outward to others. But if we're giving away real, true, God-powered love, then why on earth would the world respond with hatred? Well, thankfully, it doesn't always respond with hatred. Jesus says that some people will listen and respond well in verse 20. And yet the hatred is also real and it really can happen. Real love can actually be offensive to the world. And I think, well, there's probably many reasons for this. I just think about a couple here. And first is that we don't love what the world loves or live for what they live for. And then second, because the light of God's love exposes the darkness of our sin. So first, receiving and giving Jesus' love can be offensive and lose us the world's love because we don't love what they love. We don't live for what they live for. So Jesus says in verse 19, if you belong to the world, they would love you. It would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I've chosen you out of the world. And that's why the world hates you. When we're brought into new life with Jesus, we are also brought out of our old life in the world. And that means we no longer belong to the world. We now belong in God's kingdom, which is a wonderful place to belong for eternity. But it operates very differently from the way the world operates. In 1 John chapter 2, John tells us how loving the world and loving God, those two loves are incompatible. He says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God, of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So love for God and love for the world are opposed to each other. They go in opposite directions. John describes the world's love as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the world's desires. And notice how all those desires are focused inward. People lust to fill themselves. They take pride in what they have and what they've accumulated for themselves, which means the ultimate love of the world is really a self-love first. It's a love that tries to make everything and everyone else in the world, maybe even God himself, orbit around my needs, my desires, my feelings, me. And that's why John describes this love as really actually lust. Because its true goal is just to fill itself. And that could come out in a huge variety of ways. Sometimes it comes out in sinful, like obviously destructive ways. Crime, substance abuse, very manipulative relationships, things like that. But there's also like culturally approved ways for this kind of selfish love to come out. Like just really being ambitious in career advancement or constant lavish holidays or getting respect from people by being generous. Giving to charity, volunteering, even coming to church. You can do good things and twist them around into actually making them bad things. Even good religious activity can at times secretly underneath be motivated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The point is that the world's love is always turned inward. It's like a black hole. It's always sucking everything into itself, which is the exact opposite of God's kind of love, which gives and gives constantly. It's like the sun that's always sending out, that's giving warmth and light and giving life to everything. It's opposite. If we come to Jesus and receive his love and move from this self-focused kind of black hole kind of love towards being this generous God and others focused kind of sun kind of love that is powered by God's love for us, all of a sudden, we are not going to fit so well in the systems that the world has made. Because those systems in the world, all we revolve around satisfying self-focused love. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 4, he says, if we're living for the Lord, don't be surprised that the world will be surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they will heap abuse on you. In other words, you don't fit anymore. You've stopped playing the game, the self-love kind of game, where we all use each other for our own purposes. And so the people around won't understand, and they may not like it, that you're not playing that game anymore. And one reason they don't like it will be because the light always exposes the darkness. So we can lose the world's love because we don't love what they love, but also because the light of God's love exposes the darkness of our sin. Back in chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You'd think that giving true love to a world that's so starved for it would cause them to be refreshed and would cause them to respond with joy and celebration. And that can happen, actually, by God's grace. But often it doesn't. And often that's because the light of God's love actually exposes the darkness, how bad our sin is. It's a lot more comfortable if we can all just say, you know, what I'm doing isn't too bad because, you know, everybody else is doing it, right? We can justify an awful lot by just looking around and saying, well, everybody else is doing the same thing, so I'm okay. We measure ourselves against each other. So when someone comes along following the Lord and in the strength of the Lord doesn't do what everyone else is doing, whether it's, I don't know, lying or cheating on things at work or bad-mouthing people behind their back or whatever it happens to be, when someone refuses to join in and instead loves God faithfully and loves others generously, telling the truth or forgiving instead of taking revenge, doing what's right, even when it costs them. Whatever it is, it kind of ruins our favorite excuse. All of a sudden, everyone's doing it doesn't work anymore because everyone is not doing it. This happened to me a while ago. I worked as a server in a restaurant. I remember some of the other servers getting really, really upset, properly angry at me, simply because I reported all of my tips that I received. But by doing that, I ended up, without realizing it, making a bunch of the other servers look bad because they were not reporting all their tips. Because if we reported the tips, a certain percentage would go to the kitchen staff because they couldn't make tips themselves. So then we would, if you didn't report the tips, you could keep 100% for yourself. If you reported it, you'd have to share. So I kind of blew their system because I showed that there was more tips coming in than they were reporting. I was obviously making more tips than it looked like they were. So they were really, really not happy about that. And all I was trying to do was just be honest and like actually share with the kitchen staff. But it made them really angry. They did not want any light shining on the darkness of what they were doing. And Jesus says that in this world, often, this is the way that the world responds to the light. Now, often, it's a lot more serious than a few people being a bit upset about tips. In fact, I think this is one of the reasons why Christians are persecuted today in the world more than any other group. It's because we reflect in our lives the true light of Christ by his strength, and the world hates that light. Because the world hates to be exposed as sinful. And if you receive and give God's love faithfully, you can easily lose the love of the world because you won't be loving what they love. And because the light of God's love always exposes the darkness of sin, shows it for what it really is. But if that happens, Jesus tells us to remember that we're in good company. Verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. He's telling us if we live like Jesus, the world might start to treat us like it treated Jesus. Now, being like Jesus is obviously a good thing, but it's not always a comfortable thing. Jesus says in verse 20, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. There was only ever one man who ever lived who loved every single person he met perfectly. And that's Jesus. He constantly received from the Father and the Spirit, and he gave perfectly and generously to others. He was constantly meeting people's deep needs. He was constantly telling people the actual truth. He was giving himself for the good of others, even at great cost to himself. Did that make him popular? Yes and no. I mean, a lot of people loved him for a while. They certainly liked it when he did the miracles and gave them bread and things like that. But over time, he was increasingly hated. And eventually, he was killed. The crowd shouted out, "Crucify him!" And all he had ever done was good. But he would not fit into the world's system of loving itself. He would not live for what they lived for. He would not love what they loved. And the light of the world, when he came, he was glorious. He was wonderful. He was beautiful beyond belief. But his light also exposed the darkness of our sin. And people hated the light. And they did their best to get rid of it, even to the point of nailing him to a cross. And you think that would do it. You think that would get rid of him. But the light of Jesus was stronger than the darkness of people. 3 days after they put the light of the world in the ground, he came out of his own grave, more glorious than ever. And John says in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. They tried to overcome the light, but he conquered sin. He conquered death by dying for us. And now the darkness is fading and the light is only growing in the hearts of everyone who puts their trust in him. The worst that the world could do was kill Jesus, and it wasn't enough to stop him. The worst that they can do to us is kill us, but it won't be enough to stop us either. The hatred of the world is always temporary, and it's always limited. just like everything they love is temporary and limited. But the love we receive from Jesus is eternal, and it is indestructible, and it is unlimited. So the end of the story is wonderful. And we receive, the love that we receive even now from Jesus is incredible. But we've got to set our expectations properly. The reality is that the more faithfully we receive from the Lord and live in the light and the love of Jesus, live that out in the world by his strength, the more we do that, the more we'll be living against the grain of the world around us. And the more likely it will be that the world will respond at times with the same kind of hatred that they showed to Jesus. Thankfully, though, hatred is not the only response. Jesus says some people will listen and learn to love and follow Jesus. In verse 20, he says, if they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. So basically, the light of the world, the light of God's love given in this world divides the world. Some hate it and try to get rid of it because it exposes them. But others accept that exposure and they bring their sin and their need and their weakness to Jesus, and they find in him forgiveness and life and love. That happened in Jesus' life. People respond so differently to him. And if we reflect him well, that same division will happen in our lives as well. Some people may see God's love in us and react badly. But others may see the exact same love and through it find new life in Jesus. Even at the restaurant, this happened. So there were a number of people that really did not like me because I was reporting my tips. But there were also two guys in particular that were really just impressed by that tiny little small act of obedience. And they started asking me more about God. And one of those guys became a Christian and is still following the Lord today with his whole family. So some people will be drawn to the light by God's grace, but others will continue to reject it. God's love brings a division to humanity. And there's a warning here. Jesus says the more light we receive, the more guilty we become if we continue to reject it. Look at verse 22 to 25. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in the law. They hated me without reason. There's no good reason for the world to reject Jesus' generous love. He literally offers us everything, and he gives it for free. I mean, life and love and eternity and blessing and a place to belong forever in heaven. Why would we ever reject that? Because the world loves sin and hates the light that exposes it. When they see the love that Jesus gave, they are seeing God's love displayed. When they reject Jesus, they are rejecting the God who sent him as well. They're rejecting the one who loves them best. The only one who can save them and forgive them and give them the greatest love of all. And the more Jesus reveals himself, the more guilty we become if we continue to reject him. It shows that knowing the truth about Jesus isn't enough. A lot of people, when Jesus came, a lot of people knew the truth about him, but they rejected it. And in fact, this shows us that knowing the truth and rejecting it is actually worse than never knowing the truth at all. The more light we see, the more responsible we become. It brings a division to our own hearts. It forces a decision. So this morning, check your own heart. Have you responded to the light that you've received about Christ? With trust, with obedience, or are you still trying to keep from being too exposed? Let the light of God's love expose you. That's the solution, not to clean yourself up, but to let the light of God's love expose you and then bring that sin and that need to him. He is the Savior and he loves to save. If we accept Jesus's love and follow him in the world, in this world, you know, giving that love away by his strength, We shouldn't be surprised if we meet resistance, even, at times, hatred. But if you lose the world's love and if sometimes they treat you like they treated Jesus, remember what Jesus says in verse 26 and verse 27. He has not left us alone. He says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. Jesus is sending his disciples and he's sending us out with the greatest news that the world has ever heard, to share the life that he has shared with us, to give away the love that he gives us. We must testify. It's the best thing that has ever happened. It is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, the gift above all gifts, new life that lasts forever in Jesus. Even if the world hates us for this message, this is still exactly the message that the world needs. This is the message that we all need. And Jesus gives us the privilege of sharing his love with the world that he loves, that he came to save. And he's not sending us out on our own without him. He sends his own presence, the Spirit of truth, the Advocate, he sends with us. God's presence is with us, giving us the strength that we need to love even when the world hates, to give even when the world takes, to share out of all that we have received, out of all the riches that Jesus has shared with us. So just think this morning, does your life, does your love for the Lord and for others, does it look different from the world? Does it cut against the grain? Is there anything in your actions and your attitudes, in your conversation, in your motivation that would make other people notice a difference? Because the more we receive the love of Jesus and the more we start to overflow with that same love to others, the more your life will stand out from the world. And some people may react badly to that, like the servers at the restaurant, or maybe friends will mock you for not joining them in doing what they're doing, or maybe family members will cut you out of their plans or look down on you, or the boss might pass you up for a promotion because you won't lie for him, or something like that. There's a million ways that the world may respond badly, even if they hate you. Remember how they treated Jesus. Remember his response. He kept loving. He kept giving, even when we hated him. And in doing so, he saved us. If the world hates you, then the world is giving you an opportunity to love like Jesus loves. 1 Peter 2 says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And he went on to bear our sins and win us salvation. We can also entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly and keep going in his strength. Keep loving anyway. Keep following in Jesus' footsteps, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, even when it's hard. The rewards of God's love lived out are far greater than anything that the world can give you. No matter how much love you receive from them, it's nothing compared to the love of God in Christ. The path of his love is a path of glory and grace and life and joy beyond measure. You can keep going no matter how the world responds. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege of receiving so generously all that you give us in Christ, far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, and all of your promises for the future as well. We thank you for this love, Lord, and we thank you as well for the privilege of being able to show it to others. And we pray, Lord, for the strength to show it even when people respond badly, as we responded so often to you. And yet you continue to give, even to your enemies. Lord, give us the strength to do the same, to love as you have loved, to keep your commands in your power. We pray it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. We are going to...